Today's reading is from Revelation chapter 7, and you can find it on page 1238 in the Church Bibles. 1238. Revelation chapter 7. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or any tree. Then I saw another angel come up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea, "Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of God." Then I heard a number of those who were sealed, 144,000, all from the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. And from the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in the front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" "Sir," I answered, "you know." Then he said, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their clothes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God that serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat on them, nor any scorching heat. And the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God wiped every tear from their eyes. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Pat. Just while the music group sort themselves out, if anyone needs a pen, do raise a hand. There is a sheet that you were given as you came in, which has got to sort of fill in the blank. So if you want a pen for making notes, do raise a hand, and Brent will give you one. Just while we're doing that, thank you very much, Cara and John, and those who said something. Thank you so much for your thanks earlier. It's a privilege to minister here and to minister to this church family. It's a great church family. Thank you for your appreciation. I also forgot to say in church family news, next Sunday, Martin Vogan is going to be reaffirming his baptismal vows. So that's going to be great. So please make sure you're here and to be supporting Martin, and we'll pray for him as well. But it's great that he's at that point of wanting to reaffirm his faith. Please be there. Also to say, if you've got little ones, And it is great to have more little babies around. But do use it. We've sort of set aside a little area at the back there if you want to use that. If babies are being, you know, yeah, babies, which they are, then feel free to use that area or to use the creche. We just want to give you the options so that you feel that you can still be a part of what's going on in here. Just because you've got little ones doesn't mean you have to head out through into creche, but do make use of that if you want to. Okay, let's pray and let's get into this wonderful chapter. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that you would teach us now as we come to Revelation chapter 7. Open our eyes, we pray, and our hearts, and change us by this wonderful chapter. Amen. So, Revelation chapter 7. Who can stand? That was the question at the end of chapter 6. Who can stand? Who can stand when it comes to being before the God of all creation? Who can stand before the judge of the earth? That's the question at the end of chapter 6. Who can stand on the day of his wrath, on the day of his judgment? And chapter 7 answers that. Now, there is no bigger, more important question than this, is there? When we come before the Lord God on judgment day, how will we be able to stand? Will we be able to stand? Will anyone be able to stand? There is nothing more fundamental or important than this. Maybe a trivial illustration, but if you watch the Bake Off, Paul Hollywood and Prue, they say what they're looking for, don't they? At the beginning of tasks, they say, we're looking for this, this, this. We want 12 of this. They've got to be identical. They've got to have this decoration. They've got to be this. They've got to be that. They're saying what you need to have so that when it comes to judgment time at the end and they're going around looking at what's been done, they can say, well, you didn't do what we said. Or you get the handshake. Well, what is it for us? What has God said to us we need in order to be able to stand on judgment day? The wonderful thing is he's told us who can stand. And he's told us in Revelation 7. And the answer is, well, we're going to have 4 points this morning. The first answer is this. Who can stand? Those who are sealed. Those who are sealed. So, where are we in the book of Revelation? Well, Jesus has come to the throne of God and has taken a scroll. We saw that a few weeks back, that Jesus has taken a scroll, and that scroll is the scroll that is going to bring judgment and is also going to set up the kingdom of God. It is God's plan for the whole of creation. And Jesus has started to open the scroll. There are seven seals on the scroll, and Jesus has opened six of them. And we have seen as he has opened them that judgment has come on the world. And actually we see that this is the world that we live in, where there is wars, where there are killings, where there is death. And we've seen six of the seals opened. And the cry at the end of chapter 6, who can stand before the day of the wrath of the Lamb? And chapter 7, it's almost like a, whoa, hang on, hold on. Before we get into that, before we get into all that judgment and all those kind of things, hang on. And we see, verse 1, after this I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Now it's thought that those four winds could well be the four horsemen that we saw at the beginning of chapter 6, that the winds are the horsemen going out. So it's sort of saying, hang on, wait, before you go out and bring both the gospel but also devastation on the earth, before that, something's got to happen. Verse 2, then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels, probably again the four horsemen, who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Now this is a helpful little reminder that as you go through the book of Revelation, not everything is chronological. It's not that everything goes sort of one after the other after the other. Here we've got something where John is saying, no, hang on, this happens before the four horsemen go out. And what is going on? This angel has the seal of God. Now, that would be like sort of a seal like you would have used for on wax, that kind of thing. It's a sort of seal. And he's going round and he is putting a mark on the forehead of all God's people. So this angel is going round, and that seal represents ownership and protection. So the angel is going round the whole of humanity, and is putting a mark. And it's like God saying, this one is mine. So the angel goes around going, this one's God's. This one, mine, 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 mine. It's a bit like if you've ever had to put name tags in clothes for children so that they don't lose their clothes in theory, and so that you can find them if they're in a pile of lost clothes at school, that you can look through and go, yeah, okay, this one's got the name on it. Their name, it's theirs, it's ours. It's like God does that with his people. Now, this isn't a literal seal. Don't be looking around at one another's foreheads over coffee going, have you got it? Is there? There might be. But no, it's not like that. It's not a literal, you know, that there's going to be an imprint on people's heads, whether they're gods or not. No, it's not like that. But nevertheless, it is saying God has chosen. He's sealed. He said, these are mine. This is my person, my person, my person. And that is ownership and its protection. But the protection is not from suffering, because the horsemen are going to go out and they're going to affect all of humanity. Whether you're Christian or not, you're still going to suffer in this life. Now, it's not saying you're not going to suffer, but this seal is a seal of ownership and protection from falling away from God, from giving up on the faith. It is saying you're secure, you're mine. Now, that is a great encouragement, because our temptation, I don't know how you feel about this, don't you regularly have times where you think, I don't know whether I can carry on, I don't know whether I can keep going? Or you might think, you might hear of Christians going through particular suffering, and you might think, I don't know that I could keep going if I was them. God, would I be able to keep going if I was suffering as they are? And the answer is, well, you don't need to answer that, because you're not in that situation, and God would give you his grace if he was. But actually, your security as a Christian rests not on your ability to persevere, but on God having sealed you. That is the key. If he sealed you, you're his. He's saying, you're mine, and I'm going to protect you from falling away. So our security rests on God. And therefore, as I put on the sheet, when I feel my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. I trust on him. And therefore, if you're feeling weak in the faith, if you're feeling like you're struggling, you're thinking, can I keep going? Is to say to God, God, I need you to keep me going. I need you. So who can stand? Those who are sealed. Okay, but who are the sealed? Who are those who are sealed? Now, this is where we get into the 144,000, which has caused distress for some and problems, and people have taken it in different ways. And if you've ever talked to a Jehovah's Witness, you know that they would say, no, there literally are 144,000, which was interesting, particularly when their numbers grew to more than 144,000. And then they had to come up with a way of going, okay, how does that work? And they had to work that one out. Well, I think they've misunderstood. I think they've misunderstood, and I think it's not hard to see how they've misunderstood in this chapter. Now, okay, there are still different ways of understanding this, but I want to show you why I think I go a particular way with this. And that is to say, we notice here, and I was stunned by this when I read this. John Richardson, in his fabulous little book on Revelation, pointed this out, and I thought, yeah, that's so obvious. Jehovah's Witnesses, why haven't you spotted this? We have in chapter 7... two images, as it were, of a group of people. John hears, and then he sees. So, verse 4, then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. So this is him hearing. Yeah? And then, verse 9, after this, I looked. So you've got John hearing, and then John looking. And what he hears and what he sees are different things. Now, this isn't unusual in the book of Revelation. We've come across this already, haven't we? Earlier on, that Jesus is described in two ways, isn't he? So we saw John is told, look, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he looks and he sees a lamb. Yeah, so there, back in chapter 5, you've got hearing and seeing being different things. But you're supposed to see that they're both the same person. They're not contradictions. Jesus genuinely is the lion and he is the lamb. He's both. Okay? So we see that this is a thing in Revelation, that John hears and then he sees. And what he hears and what he sees don't match up, but yet they're both are true of the thing that's being described. So, let's see that in terms of the number of people that John sees and where they come from. Okay, so the number. Sorry, I'm behind on that. The number. So, when John hears, he hears that the number are, verse 4, 144,000. But when he looks, he sees, verse 9, a great multitude no one can count. Okay? So he hears one, sees the other. Hears 144,000, sees vast crowd, no one can count. And both are true of this group. In what sense are they 144,000? Greg Beale, in his commentary, points out this contrast. And he says the reason why you've got 144,000 that he hears about is because that is saying this is a specific group of people. It is a specific number of people whom God has chosen. It is a particular group that God has chosen. And God knows how many there are in this group of the sealed. Why a vast number? Because that is the genuine number that there is. It is a vast amount. So they are chosen by God, and they are a vast number. And actually, even the number, 144,000, would point you in the direction of it being a vast number. Because 144,000, 144, if you remember your school times tables, is 12 times 12. So 144,000 is 12 times 12 times 1,000. Now, where do you go with that? Well, actually, you could go sort of various different ways, but I think that's going 12, number of tribes of Israel, so Old Testament believers, that represents, times 12, which is 12 apostles, in other words, they represent New Testament believers, times 1,000, which is just a big number. All right, so it's Old Testament believers, New Testament believers, and a vast number of them, I think. So I think it's saying 144,000, it's a chosen group of people. God knows exactly how many they are, but it's a vast crowd. It's an enormous number of people. So the sealed, that's the number. What about where they're from? Well, it says they're from the tribes of Israel. That's what he hears, isn't it? Verse 4, they are from all the tribes of Israel. Verse 9, they are from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Okay, so contrast there, but still both are true. They are from the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, Israel was God's chosen people, wasn't it? In the Old Testament, God's chosen people, his chosen race. He said, they are my people. In other words, they're God's people. But do you notice, it is a little bit odd, the list of the 12 tribes. Because that list of the 12 tribes, I don't know whether, as it was being read, you were thinking back to maybe the musical Joseph, and you were thinking about that song where all the tribes of Israel are being listed. I can't remember it that well, but maybe you can if you've performed in it or you've sung it before, and you're thinking, oh yeah, there's this one and this one and this one. Except actually, this list doesn't match that list. And actually, this list doesn't match any Old Testament list. For a start, did you notice? Okay, let's see if you on the ball. I wouldn't have spotted this. Did you spot which tribe isn't mentioned? Go for it. Yeah, Natasha. Say it again. Dan. Thank you. Well done. Very good. Dan is not mentioned. Why not? Desperate Dan. No. Not him. Dan isn't mentioned. You get Joseph mentioned, which is slightly unusual, but also you get Manasseh mentioned as well, which is slightly odd. So you have got 12 listed here, but they're not the normal 12 tribes of Israel. So what's going on there? Some think, And again, it's slightly hard to pin down, okay, why this particular list? But some will go, Dan is the tribe which maybe is particularly associated with idolatry. There was one particular instance where they were idolatrous. Now you go, well, okay, the whole of Israel were at various points. So you go, but maybe they were particularly, in which case to have excluded them is to go, actually, this is the faithful tribes of Israel, the faithful 12. Maybe. But at least it's saying, you know, when he's saying these are from the 12 tribes of Israel, it's not quite actually the literal 12 tribes of Israel. So maybe you shouldn't be looking at this as literally just Israel. And actually, when you see who John sees, he sees that they are from every tribe and tongue and people and language. In other words, the Israel, the chosen people of God, are international. They are worldwide. They are the people of God around the world. That is Israel now. So, who are the sealed? I tried to give you a little definition on the back of the sheet. Who are the sealed? They are the vast number of God's worldwide faithful chosen people. I could have just put the church. That would have been snappier, wouldn't it? But actually, I think this is what John is trying to get across through this image. They are the vast number of God's worldwide faithful chosen people, the ones God has sealed. They're the ones who can stand before God's throne. Now, that then leaves us with a question, doesn't it, of how can we get into that number? How can we be in that number of people, that vast crowd, the 144,000 that are a vast number, the Israel, which are in fact a worldwide gathering of people, of God's faithful people? How can we get in there? Well, as you go through the chapter, wonderfully it tells us. There is praise in heaven from the crowd who are in white robes. There is praise from all the angels. And then one of the elders asks John, and I love this exchange, verse 13, then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know, which is a great answer, isn't it? If you're asked something deep by someone, one of these elders, you go, you know. Or maybe he says it in a kind of, Yeah, you know. But wonderfully, he's then told, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, the answer is, to get into that number, those who are sealed, you wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, you do need to recognize that you are dirty, don't you? You don't wash things unless you recognize that they're dirty. You just don't do it for the sake of it, do you? You've got to recognize you're dirty. And therefore, this is telling us how to wash. You've got to wash in the blood of the Lamb. Now, of course, this isn't a washing tip, is it? This isn't saying this is how you get whiter whites. You know, there used to be adverts on TV how to get whiter whites. None of them said use lamb's blood. I mean, that would be bonkers, wouldn't it? Because you dip something in lamb's blood, it comes out red. It comes out bloody. It's not going to be clean. But of course, this is pointing us to the fact that this isn't ordinary dirt, is it? This is real dirt that sticks to us. This is the stains that are on our souls. This is our wrongdoing and thinking and speaking. This is our dirty heart. That's the robes, isn't it? And if we're not sure whether we are dirty or not, actually that's why it's good to go through the Ten Commandments. It's good we're going through the Ten Commandments. What do the Ten Commandments do? Do they tell you how to live? Well, yeah, they do. But actually they hold a mirror up and they show you you're dirty, aren't you? Even this morning, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. I'm not going to do a hands up here, but anyone done that? No, don't do hands up. But we have, haven't we? You even do it once, you've broken that command. And it's not just that one, is it? I mean, we've only got three in, and we're going, not kept that. But later on, there's coveting. You ever wanted what someone else has got? Yeah. We don't fulfill these. And Jesus, furthermore, I mean, even the big ones where you go, well, okay, at least I haven't murdered anyone. Jesus goes, well, you know what? It is still about your heart, you know. It's about whether you've been angry. You go, oh, I haven't actually kept that one either. And stealing and adultery. Jesus says adultery, well, lust is as bad. You go, oh, my heart is not that good. We're dirty. And we need to see it's that kind of dirt. And we need to see that we're covered in it. Because otherwise we won't come to Jesus. But Jesus says, now you can come and you can bring your robes, your dirt, and you can wash. And that's the image, isn't it? You can bring your dirty robes and you can wash them. It's like you plunge them into a vast pit of Jesus's blood and you put it in. And when you're washing something, washing it by hand, not shoving it in the washing machine. When you're washing it in, you've got to plunge your hands in. You've got to rub that stuff. And you put it in. And because it's Jesus's death we're talking about, Jesus's death for you and me, when you plunge that in, what comes out is purest white. That is how they are wearing white robes, because they've come to Jesus's death and they've said, Jesus, I'm dirty. I need you to wash me clean. Will you wash me? And Jesus says, yes, I'll wash you. And so they are purest white. Have you recognized that you're dirty? And have you come and washed in the blood of the Lamb? And I've put on the sheet there, will you come today to wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb? If you've never done it before, if you're not a Christian, will you come to Jesus? What would stop you? Are you too proud? Maybe you say, I can't bring my dirt to Jesus. I can't bring that. All right? There's no other way to get clean. And we're all dirty. None of us are clean on our own. We all need to be washed. Maybe you think you're too dirty, that you're too bad, that the things that you've done can't be washed clean. Oh, they can be. Jesus died so that you could be washed clean. As it says in the hymn, Oh for a Thousand Tongues, there's that line, His blood can make the foulest clean. Maybe you're too self-righteous. You think, I don't need this. Well, that's a big problem. Because actually, we all need this. Oh, we're good at hiding our sin from other people. And it's probably not a bad thing that we don't have it all on display for one another to see. But actually, before God, it is all on display. We are sinners, and we need to be made clean. So if you're not yet a Christian, will you come to Jesus today? He says, come to me today. Now, don't be put off by the idea. Some people get put off by the idea that, okay, only the people who are sealed are going to be in the 144,000, the vast number. And non-Christians can sometimes think, well, I don't know whether I'm sealed or not. How do I know whether I'm one of the chosen ones, one of the ones God has chosen? But actually, you've got to hold that together with the fact that all those who are sealed are the ones who come and wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, the logic is, come and wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb, and you'll show that you're sealed. Do you see? Come and come to Jesus. He's saying, anyone, come to me. Now, okay, all those who do are the ones that he's chosen. It fits together. So, don't dither on the outside. Don't dither on the outside of the party thinking, well, maybe I'm not chosen. No, come in. Come to Jesus. Wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb and show that you are. Don't hold back. And if you are a Christian, this makes a huge difference to you and me, doesn't it? We go into this week clean, wearing white robes. You know that nice feeling when you put on freshly clean clothes? That is you going into this week. I mean, you could go into work, go into school, go into wherever you go, just go, I'm clean. Now, people might look at you weird, but then you'd have a reason to talk to them about Jesus. But okay, psychologically, you go into this week going, I am washed clean, not because of me, but because of Jesus. That makes a difference, doesn't it? Now, we've come to the end of our time. And we've still got a point to go, and you've got things to fill in there. And therefore, I'm just going to whiz through them really quickly. I'm just going to put them up on the screen so that you can fill them out and look at them later. What is the future for the sealed? We have a purpose. We will have a purpose. So that's verse 15. before the throne of God to serve him day and night in his temple. That's going to be our purpose, serving God. Now, don't forget, that is going to be new earth, new heavens, new earth, serving God on a new earth. It's going to be glorious, and we're going to have a purpose to serve God for all eternity. It's going to be wonderful. Those who are sealed will also have protection. Verse 15 and 16, he'll spread his tent over them. Never will they hunger, never will they thirst. Sun won't beat on them, nor any scorching heat. Yeah, we're not protected now from all suffering, but we will be. Third, we will have a shepherd. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. That is, as we know from elsewhere in John's Gospel, that living water is your soul's thirst completely quenched for all eternity. Your soul's desire for purpose and love and meaning utterly quenched, and eternal life, which we know that God gives us now by his Spirit, but we will have perfectly for all eternity. And we will have no more tears. Oh, you know Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo? Do you remember that, Kurt? No more tears? Doesn't work though, does it? Doesn't stop you crying ever. Here, we will never cry. We will never mourn. We won't be sad. This world, there are so many tears. Oh, there's lots of joy. There's lots of goodness. But there's lots of tears, isn't there? There won't be there. For all eternity, there will be no more tears. Because God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Well, we're not there yet. And actually, that's part of the point. We do have some of it now. We have God's Spirit in us, if you're a Christian, who quenches that soul's thirst. Although we still sometimes drift away, don't we, to try to quench our souls on other things. But we have some of it now. But we will have it all in the future. And therefore, glory awaits. So keep going now. There are sufferings and difficulties that come in this life, but glory awaits. So keep going. Keep going. Well, I just wanted to put up a couple of questions on the screen. And maybe at the end, I didn't talk with Ben about this, but maybe at the end we'll put these questions up, because I wanted to give you an opportunity over tea and coffee just to have a couple of questions that, if you want to, you can ask one another, because sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? Over coffee, we sort of think, how can I talk about what we've thought about in the sermon, but I don't know what to ask. Well, I'm going to put a couple of questions up, and you can use them if you want to, but if you don't want to, you don't have to. One would be this: what difference does Revelation 7 make to you? We could ask one another that. And if you're feeling a bit more confident, if you're feeling a bit bolder, you could ask this, all right? But you might need to be a bit more confident on this one to ask one another this. Are you confident you'll be able to stand before God's throne of judgment? Why or why not? Okay, that'd be an interesting question to ask one another. Okay, I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you for Revelation 7. Thank you for that vast crowd. And Father, thank you that we can be in that crowd through the blood of Jesus, through washing our robes in his blood. And I pray for everyone here that we would all come to Jesus to be washed. That those who haven't yet committed their lives to Jesus would come to him today to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And those who have, that we would go into this week confident, not arrogant, but confident, knowing that we are washed clean, completely clean, by Jesus' blood. Amen. Going to hand back to Joanne.
The next song that we're going to sing, actually, the words are taken from Revelation 7. There is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come. And then we will be